Welcome to Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace. We're located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. Sunday praise and worship begins at 9 a.m. Prayer begins at 8:45. Wednesday Bible study, 7 p.m. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, we're faithful. We're bold. We believe the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the Word of God. Certainly, we thank and praise God for His goodness. We know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. With that being said, let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness throughout this day. Lord God, and for some, it's the evening. Others, it's the bright and early morning, Lord God. But you know where we are. You understand our situations. You understand, Lord God, what we have need of before we even ask. Lord, but we ask that you would bless those that are sick in their body, those that are struggling, Lord God, who needs economic support. Lord Jesus, you know the need of every individual, Lord God, and no matter how we describe it, the bottom line, Lord God, is we're asking for help. Lord, send your help. Help us to recognize your help. Help us to understand when help is present, Lord God, and to engage it. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your kindness. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy throughout this day, Lord God, and that which is to come. I ask that you bless each one that is listening, those that are tuning in, those that will be tuning in and listening later as their time zone permits. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. If there's, Lord God, any that is backslidden, that listen, I ask that you would stir their hearts up for the saving of their soul, Lord God, and restore them. Lord Jesus, those that are tearing for the Holy Ghost, Lord God, we pray and ask that you would bless them, that you would fill them. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I want to thank you for joining the online service of the Cornerstone of Grace. You know, and just want to remind you that these dates are quickly approaching, and if the Lord tarry, if the Lord say the same, it will be here before we know it. And that's May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. We will be celebrating our SoCal Pentecost. And so for more information, please visit connectingtruth.org. That is connectingtruth.org. Now, but please make note of this. May 1st, which is not that far away, May 1st through the 30th, we will be consecrating. We'll be consecrating. Now, this particular consecration is going to be an absence of meat. Do not eat any meat during this consecration. I don't care how your body says, I need protein. Protein did not originally come from meat. Adam and Eve would have had all the protein that they needed had they still been in the garden. So protein comes from other sources, other supplements. And truth be told is that when we're in the kingdom of God, when the church is caught up, we're not going to be eating fried, baked, boiled, broiled, barbecued, or any other meat in that day and time. So, but we're consecrating. We're consecrating. And so let's do away with excuses, asking you to join into the consecration. It's a consecration is free. It doesn't cost you anything except a willingness. And so I ask that you would be willing, that you would set your hearts on the consecration. That's May 1st through the 30th. And everyone in the home, if you're consecrating, everyone should be consecrating. You ought to teach your children to consecrate. Just like you, they need to learn how to fast. Some things come by prayer and fasting. And so if you have a husband or your wife is not saved or they don't exercise the same faith, just ask them kindly, ask them politely, and entreat them be nicer to them and win them over that they may consecrate during that time with you. And if they choose not to because they don't believe, then make sure that you fix them a fabulous meal. But don't you, if you're consecrating, don't you engage in eating of meat during this time. Now, the people of Nineveh wanted God's attention. And that's what we want. We want God's attention. So we're not praying and asking the Lord to bless us with money, a home, a car, honey, or anything like that. If you are following and you follow this consecration, you won't have need to ask for that. There's no need to ask for it. God knows what we have need of, and he knows how to provide those needs. We just have to be attentive to what God has given us. When he sends instructions for us to do something or he sends favor our way, we need to know how to recognize those things as well. The people of Nineveh wanted God's attention, so they entreated him with fasting. And God was entreated by them. And you'll find that if you read the third chapter of Jonah. And you can read the circumstances surrounding it. But nonetheless, they wanted to entreat God. They wanted God's attention. They wanted to change his mind. And they did that through fasting. Now, we're not fasting completely during those 30 days, but there is a sacrifice being made. And God will honor the sacrifice. We want God's attention and we want his favor, like the examples that we read about throughout the scriptures. And so with that being said, let's open our Bibles. Please open your Bibles to Genesis, the 24th chapter. Now, we've gone up to the 26th chapter, but there are some things that, as I was listening to the word of God, that caught my attention. I wanted to go back over it again. And so the 24th chapter of Genesis, the first verse, I'm going to read the 7th verse and going to read the 40th verse. It says, and Abraham was old. He was old and well stricken in age. So he was not older. He was not old, but he was up there, well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. The Lord blessed Abraham in all things. All things meaning everything. What a fabulous testimony to have. Let's read on, 7th verse. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swore unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angels before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto thy son from this. Now, and the 40th verse says, and he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for thy son of my kindred and of my father's house. Now, I want to just share this thought because Abraham mentioned it, and that is the God I serve. Talking about the God I serve. I love what one of the elders said. They said, I'm sticking with the God that I serve. I'm sticking with that God. And his name happened to be Jesus. Now, they did not have the name Jesus then, but I'm using that now so that you're familiar with who I'm talking about, the God I serve. Now, to serve simply means to perform duties or for another or an organization. So it could be a group of people. It could be an individual, your employer, whomever you work for. And even if you're self-employed. You are servicing someone. And so you want your name to be the name that they think about when they want service. You want them to think about you first before they think about anyone else. Now, at this moment, we're talking about the service in the kingdom of God by demonstrating the kingdom of heaven. Now, I mention that because there is a separation here. Some say that the kingdom of God is the same as the kingdom of heaven, but we're not going into that this evening. But there is a separation. That's something for you to dig into, for those for you Bible students that love to examine the word, that like to take time and look for those nuggets that, you know, the Lord has planted plenty of them throughout his word. That's why he says, don't cast your pearls before swine. And so there are plenty of pearls to be found in the word of God. And some things will come through revelation, and that is prayer and fasting and meditation. Like the job, I hope. I hope that you serve out of respect. You know, on the job, we serve out of respect, and we serve because of the biweekly, monthly, or the annual rewards. And I hope you serve God with the same zeal, because if God didn't give you breath in your body, if he didn't give me breath in this body, I would not have gotten up this morning. I would not have prepared a Bible lesson for this evening. I would not have completed it if it wasn't for the breath of God. I would not have sat down and examined the application that I'm building if it wasn't for the breath of God. We would just be like Adam. God formed Adam from dust of the ground, and he was just there, no conscious awareness. The difference in us not having breath is that we would have conscious awareness because our spirit exists now. And so we would have conscious awareness. Do we serve God with that type of respect, that type of honor? Or I believe that we serve our employers and some with more respect and honor than we serve God. We don't make excuses for missing work, but we show up on the job on time. We show up regularly. But do we do that with God? Now, let him remove his breath and you're not going anywhere. You're not going. You're not budging. You're not getting in the car. You're not jumping on your bicycle. You're not skateboarding. You ain't doing anything but just there, existing in that state of being. Now, I like the annual rewards that I received on my natural job. I love the spiritual rewards that God has given, and nothing comes without challenge. And the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, all things have its labors. And so we labor in the natural, and we also labor in the spirit. Some labor, they're lazy. I'm sorry. I'm not apologizing for what I said. I'm just apologizing because somebody may have felt a little offended because I said that we take our natural and we're lazy in that, and we're lazy in the spirit as well. And we should not be lazy. But we have a ton of excuses for being lazy. And everyone don't feel that way. You have some people that are not dedicated to the Lord, and they're not lazy. They're chasing their goals, which is commendable. They're achieving goals. They're pressing. Jesus gave a parable about a woman that was praying and seeking help from a judge. And that judge's testimony, now remember, he's a judge, so he's an official. That's one. Two is that he said, I don't fear God. I ain't thinking about y'all. And I don't fear man. But yet he was educated and had a prominent position. He had a position that was able to change other people's lives. And so therefore he did help the woman that was seeking after him. Why are we so lazy? All right, enough of that. If you like the rewards that your natural job gives, why is it, do you have an ought against God as far as his rewards that you don't serve him with the same enthusiasm? I'm just asking a question. I'm asking a question because I believe the God I serve deserves our best. Our best. And what we may classify the best, we know in our heart is not. But so let's give him our best. Now, I'm not on our jobs. We work for a 3% increase, which is an insult to your intelligence if you are demonstrating intelligence. 3% increase you don't see on your paycheck. Let's say that you're making, let's say you're getting $25,000 a year and you get a 3% increase. That's not very much to add to your annual salary. That's not very much. And so taxes is going to eat that up. California, the taxes are 25. You're going to set aside 25% just in taxes. So you're not going to see very much of that, if at all. It takes more than going to work. We're talking about respect and we're talking about service. I'm just simply talking about service right now. And I'm talking about it from a point of view of being a, a director in the IT department. I'm no longer doing that, but for 10 years, these are the things that I would consider and look at. So when we think about these things, now, you have to learn, for young people that are going to work, I tell them that you have to know how to work. You have to know how to work. You have to learn to work the job and not allow it to work you. You know, it took more and it takes more than going to work every day. Someone might look at you and say, well, you know, you're a good employee, servant. You're a good staff member. Okay, you're servant. But it takes more than that. It takes the thinking. You need to consider your value. Now, some people that I counsel with, and they think their value, that they're worth more, but they've not added to their stature. The Bible talks to us about adding to ourselves. It says add virtue. It talks to us about being virtuous, gentlemen, ladies. It talks to us about adding virtue to ourselves. So it takes more than just thinking that you deserve more. And if you think you deserve more, then demonstrate that. Demonstrate that. Demonstrate your value and the benefit to the job. It's not enough to desire more and not add value to yourself. So, you know, it took the, or, you know, when I thought that I was worth more and I could have made more money, I wanted to be at a certain economic, one of my salary to rise up. I had to take the high road. It didn't make sense for me to complain about that I'm worth more money. I should get more than 3%. No, it took more than that. I began to read dummy books. And that led me to more intermediate books. To advance in, and I added value to myself. And that resulted in, I remember going to my employer asking about my increase, and he gave me a 10% increase, not a 3%, a 10%. I received several bonuses that were much more than 10K. They were 25K outside of my regular annual increase. But that's because value was added and they could see the value. They could see what was done. So we have to do that. That allowed me to learn and more on a different level, because then responsibilities changed. And, you know, you've heard the saying, work instead of working harder, you need to learn to work smarter. Now, to those that are willing to press for the prize. Now, all of this is about service. And we're talking about service because when we read the 24th chapter, this was dealing with Abraham talking to one of his most valuable servants. This was his most valuable servant that had control over all of his substance. And so to those that are willing to press for the prize inside of church, outside of the church, think about what I've shared with you and what you can or what you need to do. Now, I'm not talking to those that nod their heads. I go from when I'm at other churches, even at COG, you know, people nod their head, people say amen, and yet at the same time, they do very little.
Fear.
Some are fearful, scared of change, comfortable where they are. Don't get comfortable where you are. When we're comfortable where we are, we stay in a mediocre state. When we're in a mediocre state, then we're expendable. And even though each one of us is expendable, it doesn't mean that someone else won't look at us and say, you know what, you're worth more than what they were giving you and here. So some are fearful and some just don't believe. So I'm talking to those that are not fearful, that are willing to defeat the fear, and they are believers in what God has to offer as well as what they have to offer. You have something to offer. Those that see the signs and wonders still don't always believe. So I'm not talking to those. I'm talking to those that do believe. Even though a picture speaks louder than 1,000 words, that's who I'm talking to. Those that are willing to believe. Now, Abraham is now old, and the Bible said he is well stricken in age. So he has what some refer to as life experience. I'm not as old as Abraham. And I have a little life experience. And some of you listening have a little life, and you might have more life experience than I do. I don't know. But nonetheless, there is life experience. And life experience come through a number of ways. You know, I have certificates from the School of Hard Knocks. And, I have other certificates saying hindsight 2020. Now, I say that figuratively speaking, and I think you understand what I'm saying. You know, you learn from those hard knocks, and you learn from the mistakes that you make. You learn from heartbreak. You learn from a situation, and you learn from good things that are rewarding, too. After you've lived a little while, you gain some type of experience. It doesn't matter how old you are. You gain some type of experience. It may not be as deep as the person that's older than you, but you've gained some type of experience. And so that experience dictates what you do or what you will not do. It doesn't matter how old you are. You learn some lessons, and pain teaches you lessons really fast. You fall off a bicycle, you know not to try that. Or maybe you're going to practice it a little more before you try that trick again. Or if you just happen to touch the iron, find out that iron was hot, you're not going to be so quick to grab it again. There are a number of things. And we learn lessons. And we learn lessons very quickly. After you lived a while, you gain some type of experience. What type of experience you obtain? Well, that will depend on you. It depends on you. Now, what I love about God, what I love about the God I serve, is found in Isaiah 1 and 18. It says, come now and let us, you and I, the God I serve, him, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And then Psalms 51 and 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. So God doesn't, sometimes we see people and they're sobbing, they're down, they're feeling depressed, they're feeling kicked to the curb. They're dealing with life experiences and things that they're not happy about. God's not despising and judging them and putting them down. And neither should we, because that is, God sees that as an opportunity to raise them up. Psalms 147 and 3 says, he healeth the broken heart and he bindeth up their wounds. And that's what we are to do. We're to help heal the broken heart and bind up their wound. Now, Abraham was old and he was well stricken in age. And the Lord blessed Abraham in all things, everything. By the time Abraham reached this ripe old age, he understood the meaning of Genesis 15 and 1. He understood the meaning of Genesis 17 and 1. 15 and 1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." But by this time, Abraham has a better handle on what that means. Genesis 17 and 1 says, "And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Now, by this time, at this ripe old age, Abraham understood what God meant a lot better than he did when it was first told to him. Sometimes things, stuff that's told to us and what God may speak to us, and or maybe what one of our elders, whomever that elder might be, and an elder is anyone that is the Bible refers to as, I'm going to use the word platinum. If they weren't platinum, you know, that represents that they've been around. And so, but it speaks to us about listening to our elders, both natural elders and our spiritual elders, because someone could have the licensed elder and here it is that you're 49 years old and they're 27 and they've been licensed as elder. Doesn't mean that they have the wisdom that you have. Okay. And so, so they still need to be taught. The king of Israel was given advice by the older advisors, and he chose to go with the younger advisors. And now here we are dealing with heavy taxations. That's, yes, he began to tax the people heavy because the young people saw an opportunity to tax the people heavy and how it might benefit them. And that wasn't wise. So the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, the first chapter, it says, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse, "Prove us with sound advice, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments, the length of days and the long life and peace shall they add to thee." So what will add long life? What will add peace to us? The commandments of the good things that are told to us, if we follow them. "Let not have mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the tables of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So it makes a difference in our demeanor, how we respond to people, how we respond to things, if we apply the word of God. Because what we would do at times and what we might say, the word of God may change that thought or guide us in a different direction, and the outcome is more favorable. It tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. "In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil." Now that's good, sound advice. It's good advice that we should all, and each one of us should be following what was said. Now the background of this particular verse in chapter 24 that we started reading, it says that Abraham said to his oldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, "Put I thee thy hand under my thigh." So he's getting ready to make a covenant. "And I'm going to swear by the Lord. I'm going to make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife among my sons and daughters of the Canaanites whom I dwell. I don't want you fishing in this pond for a wife for my son." And some of us, some of you that are looking for a wife or looking for a husband, you may be fishing in the wrong place. And you need to talk to God about that. And so that pool that you're fishing in may not be the right one. And so that's something that you have to think about. And so don't be hasty. Don't be hasty. Don't act all thirsty. Just go to the right pool where God leads to for you to fish. You're not going to catch salmon in dirty water. All right. Now, that's a whole subject for another time, so we won't stay there right now. But you need to know that depending on what you, if you want catfish, then go ahead and go to dirty water. Now that's all right. So we'll leave that there. But thou shalt go into the country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Preadventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me into the land. Must I need bring thy son again into the land from whence thou comest? Do you want me to come back here and look if I don't find anybody where I'm going? And Abraham said, no, beware that thou had, don't do that. I'm going to release you of the promise, but don't do that. We're not shopping here at this mall for her. All right. So our subject focuses on Abraham and the Lord. Now, without Abraham or without you and I, there would not be an interaction. There would not be an interaction. There would not be a testimony, nor history or diary of what, who, what, where, or how it all happened. Our subject should always center on him and his word, which has an impact on you and I. Now, God looks for that. He looks for that. He looks for us to interact with his word. And so when you pray, I was at a prayer breakfast and I was praying using Leviticus, the 19th chapter, and someone noticed that I was praying and what I was using. And they asked me, was I reading? And the answer to that was yes, because I had thought about what I wanted to address unto the Lord and what I wanted to ask forgiveness for in the community and the city. And so I wrote it all down instead of rappers freestyle where they just get up and they just go at it. Well, we're not rapping. We should think about what we're praying about when someone asked us to pray about a situation. If someone asks you to pray about their heart, you're not going to start praying about their feet. And next thing you know, you're praying about Congress. You're praying about the governor. You're praying about the mayor. You're praying about the president. No, you're supposed to be praying about their heart. So that needs to be something that is thought about. We ought to know what we're doing now. And so our subjects should always center on him and his word and you. How am I interacting with the word of God? You are and have always, since the beginning of time, been part of God's equation. Always. He didn't make this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He did not create the heavens and the earth just for himself. He created it for us and told us to have dominion over it. And not only that, but I believe it's in Matthew's where it talks about what they call the Beatitudes, that the meek shall inherit the earth. It's for us. We've always been part of the equation. This includes the good. It includes the bad. It includes the not so good. And what some would say is outright disgusting. And some of us have been, and we know what that is. And there are others that don't. Thank God for you that you don't. But for those of us that have, we are celebrating and magnifying God that he is a deliverer. The Lord God Almighty has brought us out. And we thank God for his goodness. And, some paths that we were on would have led us into a hole. It would have led us into a place where recovery would not have been the same. And just thank God. You ought to thank God right now for his recovery, his process, and what he has brought you out of. You know your testimony, and you ought to just thank God for what he has done. And what the scriptures say, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. There's no longer that lingering over you. God's not walking around pointing a finger of disgust at us. Now, we probably point more fingers at ourselves at times. But when you think about where God has brought you from, give him praise. Give him glory and honor that you're not there where you were. Now, he made provision for us. Colossians 1, 21, 20 to 23 says, and you, talking about us, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled. See, we've been brought back to God in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Now note that it all starts with our mind. It said that we were enemies in the mind, by wicked works. And so wicked works and everything that we do, even works of righteousness, begin in our mind. It begins there. And then it is becomes demonstrative. It becomes audible, you know, and so it starts there. And what happens in the mind can either separate us or draw us closer to God. It can separate us or draw us closer to family. It can separate us or draw us closer to friends and others. So the enemy fights with us through thoughts, images, imagination, questions, disbelief. How many people are dealt with a relationship where you've been faithful in your relationship, but yet you also accused of not being faithful? And then they found out that you were not. It was because of what was going on in their mind, because of what has happened in the past and what they allowed. Some things we deal with is because we allowed it to happen. Other things, we became the prey of predators. And so therefore we were victimized and we needed deliverance from that. What happens in the mind is what causes us to make or take certain actions. Now, you may have heard me say this before, and I think it's worth repeating, that a liar will steal your future. A thief will steal your past. If someone broke in here right now and took everything that we have accumulated, took the amplifier, took the guitar, took the piano, took everything that the church has, or if they broke into your home and took everything that you have in your home, stole your car. They took what you purchased yesterday. That's the past. That's what a thief takes, is your past. What a liar takes is your future. A liar takes your future. That's more detrimental than anything, is to be lied to and to believe it and follow after it, only to find out that you were deceived, that, you know, and believing that thing. And so we have to be careful. There's nothing wrong with challenging. And even in your relationship with people that you just meet that want to get to know you, hey, girl, I want to get to know you. Or, hey, man, what's up? You know, she's saying, hey, man, and, you know, or whatever, you know, the cause is that signals. You need to get to know one another so that there's no deception going forward as far as what's happening. Now, the seventh verse says, the Lord God of heaven. This is Abraham talking. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me. The Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me. He said something. And that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. I'm going to give you this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto thy son from thence. So Abraham begins to read from his personal diary. You know, we talked about the personal diary on Sunday. Each of us have a personal diary. A diary is a record of daily events. Now, maybe you don't want to call it a diary. You know, you're too mannish for that, man. I'm a man. I'm a man's man, and I don't want to call it a diary. But listen here. It's a record, okay? And don't go too far with that. It's a record. As you know, it is a record of events. Now, I personally like composition books, and I have a lot of composition books. I had to stop because I was starting to hoard composition books where I needed to give them away. And, you know, I think I still have maybe a dozen of them in there, and I'm writing in them. I'm using them. All right. And I keep certain records. It is imperative that we do not lose or allow anyone or anything to cause us to lose our testimony. Again, that liar steals, and procrastination. So there's two thieves. A liar is a thief, and procrastination is a thief. All right. One steals your future, the other one steals your time. So you need to be careful. And it either one will alter your path. And so we have to be careful. Abraham said, the Lord of heaven, the God I serve, caused me to be where I am today. God is the one that caused us to be where we are in this moment. All of us have different, some may have similar, but it doesn't matter how you got here. The thing is that you are here right now. That's the most important thing. You're here right now. That's what makes the difference. That's why it is the present. It is the present. There is something that can be done right now that cannot be done yesterday, and tomorrow's not promised. So whatever you got to do to be right with God, you're going to do it right now. Understand this. Our journey didn't come without favor. It came with favor. That was part of the package to get us here. It's part of the benefits. And it also has an eternal protection plan if we choose to adopt it, if we choose to use it. And sometime on your job, you're given a medical plan or a 401k, and please sign up for the 401k. You choose because you spend and waste more money than you in a year when you sign up for the 401k. Select the internal plan that God has. Get the benefits, all the benefits that God has for us. We ought to be taking advantage of that. But let's be real about some things. All of us are interested in here and now, and rightfully so. And then there are others that just want immediate gratification and they're not interested. And now Jesus healed a lot of people. They wanted immediate gratification. It doesn't say that they were saved. They got the immediate gratification, but it doesn't mean that everyone that got it was saved. All right. There are questions about our natural existence and God's favor. I mention this because Abraham mentions that he is talking about the natural. Abraham is not talking about spiritual blessings. He's talking about the natural lesson. Listen to what he said. He said the land is natural. A wife is natural. A son is natural. And all of this occurred with God's assistance. Abraham was doing God's will. He didn't always do God's will. No, remember, Abraham was 75 years old when God called him. So from his birth to the time that God called him, what went on in his life? Well, the scripture tells us, and Bible students, you can look this up for yourself, but it says that he was a pagan worshiper. So he was not worshiping God. Nope, not like he is now. So Abraham wasn't doing God's will all of his life, but eventually he followed after the Lord, and God had this to say about him in Genesis 18 and 19. For I know him that he will command his children. He will command his children. He will command his children. Now command doesn't mean beat them down. It don't mean hammer them. Just be wise in what we do. Be wise in what we do. And they'll follow along with that. Okay. For I know that he will command his children in his household. He's going to raise them up, and he's going to raise everyone in his house to serve the God that we know, to serve the Lord. And he shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice. He's going to be righteous. He's going to have good judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Like Abraham, whatever God has spoken regarding you, he wants to bring it to pass. He wants to bring it to pass. Whatever dream that you've had, whatever unction that you may have felt, whatever the word of God that has been spoken to you, he wants to bring it to pass. Now, some things God, the Lord spoke something over me and the minister that spoke it. My pastor said that at that time said that whatever this prophet, whatever the bishop should tell you, you can bank on it. It's going to happen. His word is for sure. And the things that this man ministered to me over a couple of days, those years ago, back in 2010, are now being presented. Not all at once, But I know and have watched the how they've manifested over the years. What happens depends on our response to God, and it depends on our response to what he is asking us to do. What is God asking of you? What have you been asked to do that you have not done, or maybe you're taking your time doing? Or what have you been asked to do that you are running for your life to do? There are some that are just taking it, and there are others that are running full speed and running with all their might, all their power, with all that's within them, not based upon their measure of I'm running the best I can, but based upon the measure that they know that they are exerting virtue. They know they're pressing even when they don't feel like they have a press in them. The 40th verse says, and he said unto me, the Lord. Now, this is the servant testifying about what Abraham told him. And he said, the Lord, the God before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and my father's house. It's interesting to note that the servant, his most trusted servant, reiterates a prophetic word from Abraham. First and foremost is Abraham's reference to the Lord. Then he goes into Abraham's personal testimony. My master said, I walk before the Lord. I walk with the Lord. Is that your testimony this evening, that you're walking with the Lord? Do you recognize the Lord is present? When you go to bed at night, do you recognize he's present? When you rise up, do you recognize the presence of the Lord? What is your testimony? Are you walking with the Lord? What are you doing? Do you recognize the Lord is present, even when it feel like he is not? Because sometimes it doesn't feel like God is there. No. And at that moment, you have to yet maintain integrity. Sometimes it feel like you're all alone. Pastors, saints and friends, it can feel like that. You still have to maintain integrity. If you have nothing else to stand on, and you don't need anything else to stand on, but the word of God. You better know then, and those around you, that you measure up to the word of God. Our measurement is not based upon another person. It's based upon the word of God. The scripture tells us that he gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, teachers for the perfecting saint till we all come into the measuring of the stature of the man Christ Jesus. So that's our measuring rod. The servant goes on and say, he told me the Lord will send his angel. And the Bible speaks to us in Hebrews, the first chapter in the 14th verse, where it says it speaks to us explicitly that angels are servants to heirs of salvation. And that's you and I. We're heirs of salvation. So there are ministering spirits. There are angelic that go about to go before us. And we need to acknowledge God. And we don't pray to angels and we don't worship angels. No. But God knows who to assign and where to send them. And they're here for our service. Now, what will this angelic servant do? Abraham said he will. The God I serve, he will prosper our way. The God we serve will prosper our way. Abraham, what will he do? The God I serve, he will bless our relationships. Our relationships should be blessed. It don't mean that you're not going to push each other buttons sometime. You're not going to have a disagree. You're going to agree to disagree, you know, and come together later and be in agreement with certain things that we won't talk about. But listen, as that they used to sing the song, we break up to make up. That's all we do. First you love me, then you hate. Listen, you know what I'm saying. The God I serve, he's going to bless the relationship. Now you ought to lift your heads up. You ought to lift your heads up and walk with a smile on your face that your marriage is blessed because of God. That your Your husband is blessed because of God. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor with the Lord. And so you his good thing, and you both have favor. He's not going to have favor with God without you having favor with him. It covers the whole house. It's a blanket, and it covers everything. It covers the children and everything else. You have to walk with that happiness in your relationship, knowing that. Forget about yesterday. You can work on stuff. All relationships, whether it's employment, whether it's between two individuals, all of those are works in progress. All right. The God I serve, what is he going to do? He is going to add tangible things that I need. That's what he's going to do. And so with that being said, let's keep the focus on God, on the God we serve. And all that we do, we're going to keep the focus on the God that we serve. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this short exhortation. I ask that you would bless each one that has tuned in, that taken time out of their schedule, Lord, to listen in on your word. I ask that you would bless them. Bless them, Lord God, that have sat so patiently listening, Lord, that you would keep the word stirred in their heart. Lord, that they do not sin against you. Help us, Lord God, to be focused on you, to keep you as number one in our lives, Lord God, to acknowledge you in all our ways so that you can and will direct our path. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to thank God for each one of you that took time to join in and to listen to the word of God this evening. I see a few names here, and I don't want to butcher anyone's name, but I'm telling you, I'm looking at everyone's name right now, and I thank and appreciate you for taking the time to join in and hear the word of God. And my prayer is that you are blessed and that you bless someone else with the word. Walk in faith, be faithful to God in all that you do, and you'll see the difference, just as I've seen the difference over the years, what God has done in my life. And you'll see the difference too. Be blessed. Continue to pray for us as we are praying for you. In Jesus' name, amen.